Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. It is sometimes a bit of a sad thing when you consider history. When you consider what God has done in the past, it can be disheartening for what you see around you in the day that we live. When you think about this nation, United Kingdom, or whether you want to say England, the ones that have gone before, the stalwarts of the faith, men that preached the gospel and had wisdom in ways concerning theology that still have impact today, it really is astounding. You can think of names such as Owen and Spurgeon, Whitfield, Wesley, Charles N. John, Christmas Evans, John Gill, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Henry, Ryle, and there's so many more that you can just keep on going and considering. And it really would be a who's who of theologians and preachers. But when we look around us, sometimes we don't see a lot of the gospel reaching out. And it's disheartening, it seems, at times. And that's where we come into our message this evening in Jeremiah chapter 6. Well, we're going to be looking at verses 16 and 17 specifically, and it's the idea of the old paths. J.C. Ryle compiled a book with just that title called The Old Paths, and it is a great number of pamphlets that he compiled over the course of his ministry, and it's the same idea. It's taken from this passage in Jeremiah where he's trying to point people to the very foundational doctrines and theologies of Christian belief. And he takes the title from this point in Jeremiah 6. And really it is speaking here in Jeremiah 6 of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who the path truly is. It says in verse 16, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." One of the things that we have to consider is the book of Jeremiah is not an incredibly uplifting book when it comes to emotions. Jeremiah is preaching in a time where the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem and Judea, of Judah, have departed from the things of God. And the exile is not far away because of their sin. And God is using Jeremiah to warn the people. And Jeremiah has been told, you're going to warn them, but they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen to you, and they're going to continue in their sin. But you're going to need to warn them anyway. And this is part of that. And so when we consider these verses, it's important to understand who is speaking. It is not me. It is not Jeremiah. It's Jehovah. It's the Lord. It's very important to understand this. He is telling us something, and it is the God of the universe who's doing so. It is the eternal God, and he's telling the people of Israel and us as well to take heed. To stand still and consider what's going on, to take account of things. Stand ye in the ways and see. He's telling us that there are a number of ways. There are a number of ways in the world. There are a number of paths in life that people can take. But what is the good way? What is the good path? He says, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Notice there aren't good ways. There is a good way. There is the good way. It is singular. It's singular for a reason. And hopefully you can see, even in just these few verses, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He says to take his yoke upon him, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Where does he get this? He gets it from here. He gets it from Jeremiah 6. Seek ye, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. The good way that Jeremiah is speaking about is the way of the Messiah. It is the way of God. It is the way of the one that is to come, who is going to give himself for his people. There are many ways in the world, and the many ways lead to one destination, hell. And there is one other way, and that is the good way. And Jehovah is saying, ask for that. Seek it out. Find out where it is. This is critically important. And then walk in that way. So let's look at these for a few moments. Stand ye in the ways and see. So take account of things. Take account of what's going on in your life. Take account of what's going on in the world around you. The world would have us believe, society would have us believe that things are improving, that things are getting better. I don't know how much you watch the news. I don't know how much you pay attention to things. To me, when sin is magnified and glorified and the things of God are denigrated, to me that's not getting better. That's getting worse. That's moving away from who God is. That's moving away from His Word when laws are made that are contrary to what God says. That's not an improvement. That's not being lifted up. It seems that sin is rampant in the world, and those nations that at one time claimed to be, how clear it was or not, but Christian nations today are not Christian nations. And we look to nations that are clearly not even considering the true God. They have a moral high ground that the West no longer has. And we wonder why. Well, it's because we're making laws that are no longer based upon God's Word. Now, I'm not saying that we desire to live in a morally right world for the sake of a morally right world. But we desire to live in a world that is glorifying to God because of who He is and what He deserves. But yet, we take a look at what's going on, and it is not a positive. What about our own lives? What about more distinctly as to who we are? Well, Jeremiah later on in chapter 17 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our heart better than we do. We deceive ourselves when we think that we're good, when we think that we have earned or deserve something that is positive, because it's easy for us to deceive ourselves. We don't think that we're bad because we see other people that are worse. And yes, there are people that we can clearly say, you know what, they're worse than I am. They've clearly done things that are so much worse than what I've ever done. But when we come to God's standard, what is His standard? His standard is perfection. He says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter that you were 10 feet away from the goal as opposed to someone else who was 100 feet away from the goal. You both missed the goal. You've both fallen short. If you were on one side of a cliff and the cliff was crumbling, and over a half mile away was another cliff and in between was lava, and we all tried to jump, it doesn't matter who's going to jump the farthest. We're all going to come short. We're all going to fall into the lava. We're all not going to make it. Doesn't matter which one of us is the strongest. The cliff is crumbling away. We're going to fall. That's exactly the image that God gives about sin. That we've all come short. That, yeah, you may not be as bad as the other person, but you're still falling short of the goal. What are the wages of that sin? Well, according to Romans 6, it's death. It's death. But God gives hope. He doesn't say that's just your lot in life. You say, well, I don't feel like I deserve that. Well, I've said this before. What is the greatest commandment according to the Lord Jesus Christ? To love the Lord your God with your whole being, to all of who you are. What is the second? To love your neighbor as yourself. I can't say that I've ever fulfilled, and notice those are fulfillments, not statements that you shouldn't do something. Those are things that you should do. I can't say that I've ever fulfilled both of those commandments, even one day of my life, let alone every day of my life. So if those are the two greatest commandments, and I haven't fulfilled both of those commandments any particular day of my life, that is a lot of sin before the eyes of God. That's why we've all fallen short. The wages of sin is death. But, and it's a wonderful word in the scriptures, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, there is a good way. Ask for it. Seek it out. There is a good way, and then walk in that way. Who are you going to ask? Who are you going to find? Where are you going to find that good way? It's in the scriptures. It's in God's word. And it's throughout God's word. I read Isaiah 35 for our call to worship. And Isaiah speaks of the way. He speaks of it multiple times throughout the book of Isaiah. We can almost call it the gospel of Isaiah. But we see this fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Jesus heals the blind. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. He heals those that cannot hear. The lame shall leap as in heart. The tongue of the dumb sing. That's exactly what Jesus Christ does. That is a fulfillment of who he is. He says, there's a highway that will be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. It's not the way of holiness, my holiness. It's the way of his holiness. It's his righteousness, not my righteousness. That's what gets me into heaven. It's not things that I have done, it's what he has done. It's his sacrifice that he has made for me. There's a reason that in the beginning of the gospel age, in the beginning of time, of the time after the resurrection of Christ and his ascension into heaven, before people were called Christians, they were called people of the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What way was he talking about? He was talking about the way of Isaiah 35. He was talking about the way of Jeremiah 6. He was talking about the way that is mentioned throughout the Old Testament, the way to God. There is only one way. It is a narrow way, but it is free to all who come. All to come, who come to him by faith. He says in Matthew 7, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. This is the way that Jesus is speaking of. It's himself. This is the way that Jeremiah is speaking of. It's the old paths. It's what God has foreordained. He, before the foundation of the world, the Father said to the Son, when we create man, he's going to sin. The Son said, when man sins, I'll die for him. I'll sacrifice myself on his behalf. And all that trust me, all that come to me in faith, I will save. I'll put in the way. It's me. That's God's gift. It's rest for your souls. Jeremiah says it. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus says that in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not physical rest. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can you find rest for your soul as a sinner? It is only from the peace that comes from knowing God. From the peace that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven because of the blood of the one that died. It is only able to find rest for your souls by walking in the good way, the way of Christ. It's a gift of God. But what is man's response? It's the same response that man has had for ages, isn't it? We will not walk therein. We're not going to follow that way. Instead, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to work, we're going to labor, we're going to try hard to attain to the goal. And yeah, maybe we'll say we'll do it with Christ. But doing it with Christ is saying I'm doing it myself. Saying Christ isn't enough. There's all kinds of excuses that can be made as to why someone has no interest in God or the things of God. But it all comes down to the one point. You will not. You will not. Your will says, no, I'm not going to do it. It could be family members that have died that have not known God. It could be friends that are not interested. It could be family members that are not interested. It could be, as so many in my family would say, well, I've seen so many Christians, the people that call themselves Christians, who are hypocrites. They're only out for the money. They're only out for their own good. Look at, they say, don't do this, and they turn around and do the same. There are many that would say, you know, I asked God for this. I asked Him to help this person, and He didn't do it. You will not. You will not believe. You will not trust. You will not walk therein. It's not a God. It's not a case of God did not. It's a case of you will not. But thankfully, the Spirit of God still works. He says, He gives them this warning, walk in the old paths. And they said, we will not. He says, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Listen to the sound of the warning. It's coming. The day is coming. You know, it's a funny thing. We try in this world to constantly think of anything besides death. We don't want to think about it. It's not a cheery subject. And yet, it is common to everybody. It's going to happen to every one of us unless Jesus returns first. It's all that's going to happen. There have, according to the scripture, there have only been two people that have ever lived that didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. That's it. Out of the entire history of mankind, there's been only two. The odds aren't in our favor that we're going to make it as number three. Death is common to all of us. And yet we act like it's not coming. The trumpet is being blown. Death approaches. We all have a certain amount of time on this planet. And I'm not trying to depress you, but I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to blow the trumpet. In Amos, it describes the worst famine that can grip a land. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's that mentality. We will not hearken. And eventually there won't be people there to preach it. The more and more that it's not listened to. It's a horrible thing to think about. It's a horrible thing to consider that God has made a way. And yet we think we know better. God has made a way and we think we can do it ourselves. Why would God send His Son to die if we could do it ourselves? If we could work our way to heaven, it's a monstrosity to think about that, yes, when I die, I'm going to go to a waiting place until I pay my dues for a matter of years, maybe millennia, and then I'll finally get out because I've paid all the debt. Didn't Jesus pay that debt? Didn't He pay the price on the cross? Isn't that the good way? Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the wonderful news of the gospel. It's not pleasant to think about sin. It's not pleasant to think about death. It doesn't give me joy to say anything about those topics. What does give me joy is to say that God, in His glory, in His love, has sent His Son to die, that I might live. He sent His Son to die on the cross, and yet the grave could not hold Him. He rose from the dead the third day. And Paul says it in a beautiful way. He says it in a beautiful way in 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to read it so I don't miss the words. He says in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. This is exactly what Jeremiah is talking about. He's saying, you know, ask for the old path. Where is the good way? Well, Paul is saying, I'm standing here telling you the good way. I'm an ambassador. I've been sent by God to tell you the good way. Now listen to what he says. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's a transaction that takes place to give peace with God. And that is, Christ takes my sin upon Himself. And then He places His righteousness upon me. You see, it wouldn't be enough that my sin would be taken away, because I still wouldn't have any righteousness. I still wouldn't be holy. I would be devoid of anything. And yet God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, says, no, I'll take your sin and place it upon my Son. And I'll take my Son's righteousness and place it upon you. And therefore, as Charles Spurgeon says, I can stand before God as Christ, because Christ stood before God as me. That's the good way. That's salvation. That's not salvation because you're afraid. That's salvation because you understand who Jesus Christ is, the price that He's paid, and following after Him, trusting Him, believing Him. Have you taken stock of your path? Do you consider where your life will lead? Because death awaits us all unless Jesus returns. Every one of us is going to go down that path. But what about after? Do you know the old paths? Are you walking in the good way? Have you heard the trumpet warning you? Remember those that have gone before, those that have walked the good way and those that have not. Use those that have not as a warning, and use those that have as an encouragement to walk in the same way they have walked, to trust Christ. There one day will be a trumpet call to judgment. But today there is a trumpet call warning you, letting you know that that day is approaching. And there is a good way. There is a way of holiness. It is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. How do you come to the Father? By faith in the only begotten Son. By faith in the work that He has done, giving you the forgiveness of sins. We point you to the Savior. Amen.